God's timing is perfect. Our ability to come into agreement with God's timing perfects us. It causes patience. And what Noah had to daily do was an integrated part to causing the timing of God to come. And that is the same for me and you. Every day that we get up and it seems like we do something that seems so menial, that seems so tedious, that seems so, every morning, how many of you get up and you have things God has told you about this year, and you say, God, I'm standing on this. And the next day you get up and you say, God, I'm standing on this. And the next day you get up and you say that I'm standing on this. Every time you speak the word of God, every time you believe, every time you plant those seeds of love, every time you forgive, every time you are adding a piece of board to your boat. And let me tell you, when the timing is done, when all the parts that need to be in place, God will be faithful. God will be faithful. The only thing that hinders the faithfulness of God is me. Because if I get involved in that and I get lazy or I get discouraged or I get mad or I start manipulating and God don't do it the way I want to, then I get mad at God and then I say, God, you never do it the way I want you to. You never do it the way I want you to. Or I start convincing myself something other than what God has said. I'm the one that has delayed that in my life. You agree with that? So every day you get up, what I want you to understand is you are building an ark. This year, God has promised you something. He has said, this year, you will have breakthrough. This year, you will go to the other side. I don't know what that means for you. I know what that means for me. I know what God has promised me this year. This year, God will do it. There's no doubt. God is faithful. God is faithful. And I'm telling you, every morning, you need to get up and you need to tell yourself, God, you will do it. And I'm going to work with you. I'm going to get up tomorrow morning and I'm going to do exactly what you tell me to do tomorrow morning. And you know what? No matter how many people come and tell me this is crazy, I'm going to only hear what God says. Because what you hear decides what you see. What you hear will decide what you see. And if you're in a situation where you are hearing discouragement from people all around you, my gosh, get out of that situation. Surround yourself with people that build faith in what God has said to you. Maybe it might not be at all concerned with their life. But be around people that say, you know what? God told you that. God is going to do that. That keeps your eyes focused on what God says. Because when you can keep your eyes focused on what God says, you stop looking at what's not there. You stop looking at what cannot seem to easily change. You start looking above. And God starts giving you a perspective. See, Noah, I love Moses. Can you tell? It comes out of all my time. Noah built the ark. And what God told him to do was to preserve his family. That's what he said. He said, go build this ark for you and your family. So there will be safety and protection when this comes. But because Noah did it, all of humanity was saved. More than just Noah was affected by the obedience that Noah walked in. And the same is for our lives. I'm going to tell you, whatever we are called to do this year, what season we're in right now is a training season. It's a trusting season. And it's definitely, I'm going to tell you the truth, and I'll just be real honest with you, it's not the easiest season. We would love to be on that side. But if we all got inside of that boat right now, did you know it would be a really leaky boat? If we got inside of that ark before everything had been put into order, it would leak. So God told me today, he said, you know what? You can get in that ark, but it's going to leak. No, thank you, God. No, thank you, God. I want to wait. I want to be patient. I want to be perfected. I'm going to tell you, we have so much in Christ. We've got so much in him. But so much of that that's in him has to be perfected in us. And this year, God is going to perfect us for war. How many of you agree with that? God is going to train us for battle. So no matter what's going on in any place, he can say, oh, I can use you. pick you up, move you into that situation because you are a man or a woman of faith, because you have great patience, because you can believe and then only believe what God told you, and you can watch things change. God can move you anywhere and do miraculous things. God can do that with people that walk by the Spirit. I'm going to tell you, God cannot do that with people that walk by the flesh. God cannot do that with people that walk by the flesh. God can't trust you. If you have a tendency to get into a situation and fall apart, I'm going to tell you, God wants so much more for you than that. But if you get into a situation and you fall apart and you say, oh God, I have failed. Thank you, Jesus, for your blood. Thank you, Jesus, that your blood covers me and it makes me look righteous, even though I'm not. Makes me look righteous. And it gives me the strength to stand up and keep on walking. You're in a training period. Things that you used to battle, I'm going to tell you, for a lot of us, we don't battle them anymore. I'm going to make a lot of probably early church people mad, but I'm going to tell you, I used to could not drive by a liquor store without being driven insane. That's the truth. It is. Because there was such a deep insecurity in me. That was joy. God was not joy. That was joy. God could not be joy. So every time I would drive by that, it would literally, I would have to say, God, and this is what I would say. I would say, God, I want you more. You confess. You speak. You speak what God tells you. Because what will happen is He creates it when you're speaking it. So I would say that, God, I want you more. I want you more. I want you more. Your feelings, I want you more. Your feelings, I want you more. See, things that we used to battle in every new place in our life, we shouldn't battle them anymore. We should become stronger. So whatever battle God has you in right now, whatever season, let me tell you, this is the level God can trust you. And God is wanting to stretch you this year. That's why it seems real uncomfortable. How many of you are in an uncomfortable season this year? God wants to stretch you. And God wants to use you. And God wants to do things that He has chosen you to do. But when on this side, when you come through like now, and I will tell you now, I used to, a long time I would drive by and I would say, thank you, Jesus. Because it was such a praise to my heart that God had absolutely, you know, redeemed my life and changed me. I'm going to tell you the truth now, I don't even notice it. You don't even notice it. That God will take you from battle to battle to battle to battle. But what happens is, it's not really battles. God is training you, strengthening you, equipping you, empowering you. We should have, as Christians, if you've been saved for a while, you should have some spiritual muscles. You should. There should be some spiritual grit inside of you that some things, when you face it, you should say, oh, there is nothing there that the enemy can even try to put on me. And that's the wonderful thing about God, about growing in God. But we get to places to where this battle season, it's a training season. It's a growth season. So instead of it looking as, God, what have I done that you send this against me? Say, God, thank you. Thank you for trusting me enough to be able to train me so that I can be somebody you can use in this season. God wants to use His children. God wants to be able to cause this world to be affected by us. We're called to do that. So everywhere that we walk into something, and if everything around us goes crazy, let me tell you, that's the Spirit of God, us resisting the enemy. Expect that. Expect that. Expect opposition. Expect those things not to go well. Paul lived that life. Let me tell you, the New Testament church lived that life. And if you've ever been in ministry, or if you've lived for God just a little while, I can promise you, not everything will go well for you. That is a fairy tale, and that sounds really terrible, but I'm going to tell you, that's a good thing. You learn to be sharp as iron. You learn to be tough as nails. You learn no matter what the devil sends against you, it's going to bless you. This is going to bless me. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for giving me this season of strengthening my muscles. Thank you, God, for giving me this stand in righteousness, because regardless of what it looks like, it's changing because you put me here. God's desire is to use every person in whatever situation they're in. And you are that person. You are the one God wants to use. All right, now we'll jump to my notes. All right, so I'm telling you, I feel like it's a strong encouragement tonight. We're about to go. After tonight, what I feel like God has told me to do is to start training us for war. And I believe that God has given us such supernatural weapons of warfare. How many of you have found that God has weapons of warfare? But I'm telling you, and as a kid, I used to say, oh, God, I put on my helmet of salvation, my breastplate. How many of you? We have a song at school. Jason, do you remember that? Miss Bell, we even had a song that we would sing, and I would sing it for you if I could sing. But even when I would get up in the mornings and I would pray and I'd put on the armor, I would put on the armor with the song. I don't know if that was good or bad, but I'll tell you, when I did that, what I really believed was, oh, I am just getting myself in the motions. It didn't have the power that I know that God wanted that to have. And so I really had an odd connection. Does anybody else, don't raise your hand because you'll look as foolish as I do. But did anybody else have this kind of odd connection with weapons of warfare? And I've been told since I was a kid, you're a warrior. I can fight. I can get aggressive. I have learned now that it's not fair. When you find out what that means in Christ, it's not fair. It's not. What that means is you are peaceful. You are humble. You are loving. You are kind. You always have a soft answer. You know, that's what it means in Christ, right? For us people that are a little bit fiery, that's not fair. I'm like, God, that's not fair. But let me tell you what that does mean. That does mean that you can take all that God put inside of you and you can release it on the devil. And it will give you a way to stand when nothing else seems normal. You can be the one like David and you can say, I'm not moving. I'm not moving. That's what that warfare spirit does when you get it in the right direction. And when you allow all of your flesh to be subjected to the Holy Spirit, it gives you this, and it's a really a good thing. But for a long time, I would just put on that and I didn't quite understand it. But I'm going to tell you, freedom and spiritual weapons go hand in hand. They go hand in hand. Because the things that fight us using our spiritual weapons is our flesh and our past. The things that fight us being able to have the helmet of salvation is our flesh and our past. It's the way we think that goes against what God says. The way that we fight with our spiritual shoes, it's peace. And that has to be crucified. Our flesh has to be crucified to have peace in every situation. How many of you know that? Because peace does not come natural. Peace is from God. So you have to deny everything you feel and everything you've been taught to stand in peace. But let me tell you, there's a good peace. There's a peace that is, you know, maybe you've ever met a peaceable person. Have everybody just met a real peaceable person? And they're really sweet. You know, they have no problem overlooking offenses. And that's a wonderful trait to have. It's a wonderful fruit of the Spirit to have. But I'm going to tell you, there is an offensive warfare peace that God will give you in battle that has a very different face to it. Because see, that warfare offensive peace is to face the devil with. It's to face the enemy that's come to take you out. And you don't overlook the enemy. You don't peaceably let him come near. There's a warfare peace that God will give you that says, where I'm at is where I'm standing, and you can't move me, no matter what you do. That's the offensive warfare shoes of peace that God gives us to put on. So I really, where we're fixing to start going in here on Wednesday nights, and I'm so sorry for you that do not think it's freedom. It is freedom, because we're going to learn how to operate on the offense by making everything about us come under submission to God. And I'm telling you, and it's a good work. I love what God is teaching us right now. I love that God is training us to be warriors. You know, that's God's desire. God's desire is for us to take dominion, man, to walk into any situation and to conquer. And God has chosen us to be able to be that. So that's a very, very good place to be. I'm going to jump straight into the Word tonight because it connects all with this. But I'm going to start with a story, and it's kind of where I left off two or three Wednesdays ago. Because I want to pick up there because I want us to understand the way that the enemy can move into us in battle, and he can defeat us. Because he's got just as much strategy as God. The devil has a lot invested, not as much, but a lot invested into your defeat. So as much as we have in God, if we ever turn our ear to the devil, what we see is going to be very different than what God intends for us to see. And what we hear is going to be very different than what God intends for us to hear. We've been talking about the spirit of the Amalekites, how that is a generational spirit that comes against every generation to oppose you, to stop you, to keep you from advancing. Now, that Amalekite spirit a couple years ago in my life was anger. Anger came into my life, and it resisted me from having peace in my home. It resisted me from having joy in my marriage. It resisted me from being a happy mother, a happy wife. And that spirit, the avenue that Amalekite spirit came through, had to be defeated. And I've told you all before, I didn't do it right the first time around. The first time around, I did not get God's words in that battle. And it caused me a lot of grief. I'm going to tell you, you can do it your way, or you can do it God's way. But if you do it God's way, it's a lot faster, it's a lot better, and everybody around you smiles. If you don't do it that, it's not that way. So it's really important that when we're in battle, we do things God's way. We are not as smart as God, and we don't know God's way. So when the spirit comes against you, what you have to stop and think, what God has told you to do is what matters. Whatever that spirit is opposing, whatever that spirit is stopping, that don't matter. It don't matter. What God has told you to do is what matters. Because what you hear is going to affect what you see. So if God is telling you something, and that spirit is opposing and filling and consuming the atmosphere with negativity, with lies, with frustration, you're going to get in the middle of that and you're going to think, oh my gosh, I did this. You did not do that. God put you there. God put you there. So instead of you seeing a battle that's bigger than you can take, because if you start listening to all that opposition around you this year, what's going to happen is you're going to start believing the lies of the enemy. And you're going to start seeing these battles as natural battles, but they're not natural. They're supernatural. We're going to live a supernatural life this year. We're going to learn how to face every situation in the Spirit. But to see in the Spirit, you've got to hear in the Spirit. Because the enemy can quickly get our eyes somewhere else if we're not seeing, if we're not hearing what God is telling us. All right, we find the Spirit, and it's all throughout the Old Testament, but we find this spirit where it came against the children of Israel time and time and time again. And when it came time and time and time again, finally God said this. He spoke this to Samuel, and he said, "This is what the Lord of heaven's armies has declared. I have decided to settle accounts with the nations of Amalek for opposing you, Israel, when they came from Egypt. Now go and completely destroy the entire Amalekite nation. Men, destroy them. Women, children, babies, cattle, sheep, goats, camel, and donkey. Everything." God said, destroy everything. This is something that will always be there to oppose you if you let it live. If you don't completely destroy what this year is set against you to oppose you, it will always linger, and it will linger in you, through you, and it will affect your former your next generations. It will. You might subdue it, but if you don't conquer it, it's going to find you as an avenue through to come into your next generation. You need to have a godly aware of that spirit. And you need to know that this is the year God has told you to defeat it. So we find this charge came to Saul. Saul was king at that time. Saul had fought for God at that time. Saul had even went into battle. And when he went into battle, he was afraid that God would not defeat the enemy for him. How many of you have ever done that? If you get into a battle, one thing I'm going to tell you, God will defeat that enemy for you if you will obey him. And so Saul had learned that by this time. Saul had been in quite a few battles that by this time, Saul knew if he obeyed God, God would defeat him. See, we're in new battles now. We should know those things about God. God constantly is wanting to grow us. I know that's probably not a word, but we just made it. He's wanting to grow us. He's wanting to mature us. He's wanting to strengthen us. And we see that Saul has matured to a point to where he knew, if I fight here, God will defeat this army. Okay? So Saul walked into that battle knowing that God was going to defeat them. That was not a fear for him at all. But when Saul got into that battle, the enemy came in and began working in that situation. Let me just let you know, when you're in this battle this year, the enemy is going to come in and he's going to want to work in that situation. That's the goal of the enemy. If he can't cause you to be afraid and not attack and not advance, he's going to cause, while you advance, frustration. He's going to cause distraction. He's going to cause a penetration to your heart. He's not just stopping once you start advancing. He's going to try to get all involved in the mess of it. All right, so here we see Saul. He's went to battle. And it said, and Saul attacked the Amalekites from Havilah all the way to Shur, which is east of Egypt. And he also took King Agag of the Amalekites alive. And he utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag, and they spared the best of the sheep and the oxen and the lambs and all that was good, and they were unwilling to utterly destroy them. But everything that they despised and thought worthless, that they utterly destroyed. The enemy knew he probably could not attack Saul with fear. So he didn't even try. But the enemy knew that he could come into that situation and he could begin to use people's words to plant seeds into Saul's life that would cause him to think, you know what, that looks good. That looks good. That would be good on me. It would look good if I had that at my table. What did God tell Saul? Completely destroy everything. I'm going to tell you, if you start listening to anything but God, you're going to start seeing a completely different battle than what's before you. So Saul started listening to these things that were telling him, God would not want you to destroy that. Look how beautiful that is. And I'm going to tell you, when that comes into our mind, that's called rational thinking sometimes. Rational thinking, a lot of times, is completely the opposite of what God says. You need to know that up front. A lot of times what God tells you to do defies ration. What it does is, it makes you believe for something greater than you could see. Something bigger than you can do. God told him, hey, right here, all of this will affect you. Get rid of all of it. But Saul allowed those lies, because they were lies, even though it was reality. Let me tell you, you don't go by what you see. You go by what God tells you. And so God had told him, it is evil. He has said, it is bad. But see, Saul, it even said that he was unwilling. I'm going to tell you, your will has to be surrendered to God's word. Every morning when you get up, you have to know that God is involved in your life. You've got to know that God has a plan for your life. And you've got to know that God is leading you. Because if you don't know that, you will get into a situation where the enemy can start to tell you things, and it will affect how you act in this season. Because what we hear, it affects what we see. But what we see affects what we do. I'm going to say that again because I want you to understand that. What we hear affects what we see. And what we see affects what we do. And what we do matters. It mattered that Saul completely destroyed everything. Why did it matter? Because it was disobedience not to. Saul lost his entire future because he did not see what God told him to see in that battle. Because we find out just a little while later, Samuel came. Do you remember Samuel came? And he said, "Why, Saul, did you not do what God told him to do?" And you know what Saul said? He said, "I obeyed God." Saul was so deceived because he started seeing things natural. He started seeing things not supernatural, not in the spirit. He started seeing things natural. And when you see things natural, you're always going to be deceived. You are always going to be deceived. So if the enemy can come and implant some lies into your mind in this battle and you listen, his job, his goal is to find you in a place of being deceived. To where you can sit there on that side and you can say, "God, I pleased you." And God will say, "How is that what I told you in the beginning? How is that what I told you in my, what that, how is that the same as my word to you?" God's word don't change. God's word does not change. Now, we can change God's word if we begin to rationalize or to see it physically. But if God tells you to do something, it's a supernatural act God wants to do in your life. God wants to do something supernatural. Now, there's a scripture that Paul said. He said, "Don't let Satan take advantage of us, for we are not to be ignorant of his devices." That scripture is so true because the enemy thinks you're ignorant. You need to know that. The enemy, the way he works on you, the way he tries to manipulate you, he thinks you're ignorant. You're not ignorant. We are not ignorant. Now, we can act ignorant, but I'm going to tell you, you were made in the image of God. You are a mighty, powerful weapon that God can put into situations, and he can cause his whole plan to be unfolded through one person. God does it time and time and time again. God wants to be able to trust you in whatever season you're in. But the enemy thinks you're ignorant. This is what the enemy said. This is what his goal is. It says, "For we are not to be ignorant of his devices." Now, that word devices is a neat word. Here's what that word devices mean in the Greek. It says insidious or malevolent. It's a weird word. Plots of Satan that is to fill the human mind with confusion. The word devices depicts the insidious and wicked schemes of Satan to attack and victimize your mind. And in other words, it's called mind games. When it says we are not ignorant of Satan's devices, it says we are not to be ignorant to the games that the enemy is trying to play with our mind. Now you say, "I would never let the enemy play games with my mind." Well, I did. I do. The enemy can come in quickly and make something seem so real that we begin to interact with it and to get into the motions of it. And then we find ourselves in a place and we're like, "God, this is fear." How many of you ever found yourself in fear and you are like, "How did I get here?" That's because the enemy is a schemer. So in this battle, what you hear is going to define how you act and operate in this battle. Now, last Friday, I have to tell this because God told me I had to. And every time I mess up, I have to tell somebody. So I'm going to tell you all. Last Friday, my husband had been gone for a week and a half, and he came home, and me and him were talking, and he does what every husband lovingly does. He says something that triggers in me a fear. None of you do that, right? None of you do that. And it's not a bad thing. It's a normal thing. But it's the word we don't use. How many of you have those words we don't use? They're not bad words. They're trigger words. So me and him are talking and we're discussing something and I'll tell you what it is. And he'll say, "We're not talking about that." Any of you men say that to your wives? "We're not talking about that." Instantly, when my husband says that, it puts such fear No, I'm going to go back. I'm not going to say that. It does not usually. Usually I look at him and I say, that's a word that's not on the table in this marriage. Is that not true? We don't talk about that. We don't say those words to each other. But I didn't. So I stopped at that moment. And because he said that, I said, I'm not fighting with him. I'm not fighting with him. I am so much more holier than him. I am not fighting with him. How many of you do that? I am not. I am not. And I just put it there. I'm not. But I allowed that lie or that thought to penetrate my heart. I did. And it came into me. And I started worrying and getting afraid and thinking crazy thoughts about him. I know no wives do that. You don't think crazy thoughts about your husband or your kids. But I started thinking crazy thoughts. He is never, ever, ever going to be a communicator with me. We are never, ever, ever going to have a happy marriage. And all these insane thoughts started filling me with these crazy emotions. And he looks over and he's like, what is wrong with you? I'm like, what is wrong with you? And I'm like, you don't love me. You know, I mean, you just go there. You go from here to there that quick. All right, so instantly we both say, oh my gosh, this is not God. This was wrong. And we went on. We went on. Well, I'm going to tell you, I had allowed that to penetrate my heart in a season of war. We're in great warfare right now. We are being used by God. That is a privilege. Anytime you're in warfare, you need to say, God, you chose me to use me. I am so thankful. I am so thankful. I'm going to tell you, I'm so thankful that God chose Noah. I am so thankful that God chose Moses. And I am so thankful when God puts you in a situation to change things, He chooses you. So we're in that season. And I'm going to tell you, when you're in battle, it matters what you hear. Do you see? It matters what you hear. Because it's going to change what you see. So the next morning, I get up and I go to pray over. I come and I'm like, I'm building my ark. You know, I'm getting up the next morning and I start to believe. And instantly, I knew something was different. Because I started thinking thoughts of worry, of fear, of doubt. And then after I started thinking them, I started speaking them. I started saying, what if? It would be better too. Why are we not? And my husband's like, I don't know what's wrong with you today. I'm just going to block you out today. And it was a season, but it was a day where I knew that the enemy had penetrated my heart in fear over my marriage. And because he found an access door, do you think the enemy is happy right there? Oh, no. You give him an inch in battle, he's going to take a mile. So the whole day went on and I was like, oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. What are we doing? And I'm going to tell you, throughout this entire battle season, I've had no days like that. I've not had ever had a day like that. I had one this week. So I was so not good for him. I'm called to be his strength and he's called to be my strength. And all of a sudden I get a text message from somebody in this church and I'm not going to name your name, but I love you. And they texted me and they said, oh, Crystal, we love you so much. They said, we are so excited about where we're going in freedom. And I just am so, I want you to just encourage yourself in Ephesians 6. Because guess what God is so using in my life? And I had been reading Ephesians 6 that morning. He said, because you know what? We're prepared for battle. I said, oh my gosh. How many of you have ever done that? I mean, literally, God sends exactly what you need in that moment to give you a good slap on the bottom and say, you know what? Straighten up, kid. Straighten up, kid. This is not battles you've been in before. You're in a new battle. And you keep what you hear only being what I tell you. So instantly, I'm telling you, that convicted my heart so bad. We both, I said, we got to pray. He's like, well, I'm not. Well, I know, I got to pray. We had to go together and we had to re-strengthen our mind. I say we as me, my mind and my heart. And my faith. And do you know what instantly happened? Instantly, faith was there. Because when God speaks, He speaks faith. God speaks, He speaks faith. Why am I sharing this with you? To make fun of myself? No, I want you to understand that the enemy, when he comes to you, and he is trying to do exactly what Paul was warning us, he's trying to use devices on us in war, in a season of advancement. He's doing it to cause you to stumble and fall, to resist and step back, to be faint-hearted. Because here's what happened with Saul. Because Saul heard that people around him said, we shouldn't kill them. And he even says in the Bible, it says, Saul said, I feared the people and I obeyed their voice. If you hear in this season anything else but God, it's going to cause you to see things in the natural. And God wants you to see things this year supernatural. God wants you to do things this year supernatural. How many of you has God given you, I'm not even going to say dreams, how many of you God has given you a charge this year that's bigger than you? How many of you has God laid some things in your heart about the reasons and the seasons, and you stand here looking at everything around you and you say, God, I don't even see a way. I don't even see a way you could do this. It takes one person coming into agreement with what God has said to make a way. God wants you to be that way. God wants you to be that way. So my encouragement to you tonight is get up every day and build that boat. Get up every day and do what God has told you to do. It might seem futile, it might seem pointless, it might seem insane, but get up every day and stand and believe and obey. Because just as sure as God sends rain, this year, God is going to do what He said He's going to do. So know in your heart, God is faithful. Say that with me, church. My God is faithful. Your God is faithful. And you, this year, are going to be able to be trusted by God. God can trust you. You are not weak. You are not small. God sees you as the hand of God in that situation that He can use. God's desire is to use you. God sees you great. God sees you the way you are. Now, what we see about ourselves is dependent on what we hear. It's dependent on what we hear. So I want everybody to close your eyes in this room right now. And I want you to ask. I want you to just ask God. Just stop and think. What is an area of your life that is in the process of going from physical to spiritual? What is the area of your life that the enemy keeps trying to get your attention to focus on in the natural? All of us have them. In that, you are not unique. And I want you to think back to what God has told you about that situation. Think back to what God has said about you and your life and that moment. And I want you to just say, God, I believe you. God, I believe you. It don't matter what it looks like, because tomorrow morning I'm going to get up and it's probably going to look the same. But what you have told me will be, because you are faithful. Everything in God's hands is good. Everything that in God's hands is good. Now I want you to tell the devil this. Say, devil, I will not let confusion, I will not let you cause me to be ignorant of your devices, like Crystal was last week. I am smarter than you, because I got the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to believe what God has told me until I see it manifested before my face. Because God is faithful. In Jesus' name, amen.